Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Into the 99 podcast, where I'm your necromancer with all the answers, NecroZack, and as always, joined by my other lovely hosts, Lotus, Ryan, and Dan. How are you guys doing today?
Yeah, not doing too bad.
I'm excited to get Modern Horizons 2 stuff.
You look so excited.
And go back to sleep. I've seen.
I'm very excited as well. I'm doing pretty good as well. Thank you, Zach. How are you this week?
I am well. I think we've all been sharing stories about how we've somehow managed to get Modern Horizons stuff. So it's been a pretty good weekend so far. Just going to go ahead and get some of our call to action stuff out of the way. First and foremost, I want to thank you, the either visual or audio listeners. We would not be able to do this without you. So thank you so much. If you are listening to this on whatever app, please leave us a good rating. That really helps us to get more people to listen and find us more easily. Also, if you are our patrons, thank you so much. You guys really make it just amazing to get up every day and try to do this for you. I always think about what content I could bring you that is going to make you guys continue to want to give me money. So thanks. If you're listening to this and you already probably know about our podcast, but there are a couple other things that we do as well. We have our Tuesday night streams. Those start at 7 p.m. EST. Lotus does Brunette Live when again? It's every Saturday now?
Every Saturday at 8 p.m. GMT. I will have to work out for the rest of it.
Okay. It's GMT. You guys know. We have Google. Just figure it out. We also have plenty of other...
Give me a second. Here we go. 4 p.m. EST, 2 p.m. MST.
There you go. If you also would like to continue the conversation further, we have a Discord. It's Insta99. You can come on there and you can talk to us. You can talk to our amazing Discord people and find games and other just really fun stuff. We also have a website, Insta99.com. It's your one-stop shop for all things Insta99, whether it be articles, videos, just really anything that would be us. I think that's all. I'm not entirely sure. I need to write this down and script this better.
I did want to say as well, we talked about it a little bit earlier and I shared a post on Instagram. The fact that people have enjoyed the show so much has been great. The support we've gotten from everyone is awesome. We somehow have made it globally into the top 10% of all podcasts. So thank you everyone who's tuned in and listened and have been here through all our technical difficulties and our ups and downs. Like, I'm blown away that anyone wants to hear us talk about magic. I love when people message us and chat with us back. So from absolutely the bottom of my heart, I am super grateful that everyone's here, part of this community. I just thank you so much. I cannot say it enough. That blew me away when I saw that.
Yeah, yes. It was awesome.
Yes, we thank love all of you so much.
Yeah.
So enough of that gushy nonsense.
Let's get into Golgari. Go Gary, John. Yes. That's how I'm saying it.
So today, we've already been talking about Modern Horizons, and of course, we all have things we're excited to brew, and like any new set, I've already jumped the gun, and as soon as I saw this creature and found out it could be a commander, I brewed a deck. I traded in 3 of my dual lands to be able to fully furnish this deck in a way that I wanted, and we are dealing with Griss the Hungertide. It's 1 a black and a green for a legendary planeswalker Griss. They start with 3 loyalty, and this is what allows Griss to be your commander. As long as Griss the Hungertide isn't on the battlefield, it's a 1/1 insect creature in addition to its other types. The RC came out, I think, a day after the card was spoiled and confirmed this card can be your commander. So there's no... you don't have to worry. If you pull this in like a pre-release or you trade for it, if you like my deck and want to build it, this card is legal. Do what you're going to do. So we're just going to briefly go over what Griss does. Griss +1, you create a 1/1 black insect, green insect creature token, and then you mill a card. Then If it's an insight card you milled this way, you put a loyalty counter on Grayson and repeat the process. It's negative twos, you may sacrifice a creature. When you do, destroy a target creature or planeswalker. And it's negative five, each opponent loses life equal to the number of creature cards in your graveyard. So, of course, we're doing graveyard shenanigans because it's my deck.
I was going to say, anything that is loses life because of the number of cards in your graveyard, just that gets Zach going.
Oh, it got me going very well.
You're the only reason I buy so many Leyline of the Voids.
Well, now you can get the better graveyard hate, because we have better graveyard hate. You can get this, I'm going to butcher this, but the Duati Voidwalker.
The Dawn of Shadow thing, whatever. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. Yes, it is. But we're not here to talk about that right now. In this deck and in this scenario, we're going to pretend graveyard hate doesn't exist, because if it does, it sucks. So I've wanted to build a deck like this for a very long time and just didn't really have the motivation, and Gris kind of got me there. So this deck is a Relentless Rats deck, first and foremost. We're going to cover that, and then we're going to go into how everything else works. So for those that don't know, Relentless Rats, a one black rat, it's a 2/2, and it has the text, Relentless Rats gets +1/+1 for each other creature on the battlefield named Relentless Rats. A deck can have any number of cards named Relentless Rats. So just like how Gris can be your commander, Relentless Rats works in a way you can break the singleton rule for commander, or the four rule in other 60-card constructed formats. So we're running 25 Relentless Rats. That is our creatures. That is the only creatures we're running, is 25 Relentless Rats. That is it. So,
creatures done.
Yeah. Quickest okay. creatures we're ever going to have. We're going to move into... But
before you move there, I did want to say, when I initially looked at this list, I asked Zach, I said, well, why didn't you go the insect route? And he explained, because of how good that bottom one is. You can't leave the rats on the field, but with that commander, you also just can't let them be in the graveyard. Like, exile is the only thing you can do against a deck like this, because on the field, these things are monsters, and off the field, they are just a constant life drain.
Yeah, we have... go ahead.
You're right. I've just been going through the list, going, surely there's at least one other creature. There's not a single creature I can see.
Don't either.
I really, really had to, like, stick to my guns, because I like running certain utility creatures in all my decks, and you won't find Filth in here, you won't find, the Piper, you won't find anything like that. So we're heavily relying upon our other cards. So to really explain how this deck is going to work, I'm going to start in our utility section to give you just, this is where all the spice is. This is how we are going to make... basically abuse Gris and also make the rats just terrible to deal with for anyone. So the first card is Akroma's Memorial. It is a 7-drop legendary artifact. Mind you, wearing green black, so keep that in mind this whole time. Creatures you control have flying, first strike, vigilance, trample, haste, and protection from black and from red. So
that's some of your some of your best removal colors there, taken right out of the gate. Like, You can't Blasphemous Act these rats anymore, because now they're pro-red.
Yep. This is going to allow our rats to be monstrous, like just get through whatever, essentially. It does turn off some of our like cheeky things with protection from black, but if we drop this and have a couple rats on the battlefield, I don't think we really need to care about protection from black at that point.
True.
So, Krimus Memorial, really good. Next card, I've been wanting to play this, and I played it when I had my Hacken deck, so I was super excited to find another use for it. It's Ashes of the Fallen. It's a 2-drop artifact. As Ashes of the Fallen ETBs, you choose a creature type. Each creature card in your graveyard has a chosen type in addition to its other types.
That is very cool for this deck.
Exactly. We're going to most likely name Insect.
The Bug Rats.
Just we're gonna be doing a lot of weird stuff.
I mean, it makes sense. You rats have like flies and stuff on them.
You should name this deck "These Rats Bug Me." That's all I'm saying.
There's quite a few different names. I toiled with this very much.
Yeah.
This card, it was another one I was super, super excited to get and finally get to play. It's Bloodbond March. It's 2, a black and a green for an enchantment. Whenever a creature spell is played, each player returns all cards with the same name as that spell from his or her graveyard to play.
This one has always been the one that I want to run in all of the you can run as many as you want cards, mm-hmm. like Persistent Petitioners, any of those things. But the colors never match up. I've just even considered doing like a Soul Tie Persistent Petitioners because of how good this card is. I cannot stress how bad it is to you get everything back every time you play the creature. It's just so rough. Like I said, you have to have Graveyard Hate, but no one plays Graveyard Hate because it's kind of not really socially acceptable to just hose your friends. So like everyone has a little bit of it, right? But like unless your main win con is like a Helm of Obedience combo where you lay Line of the Void their thing, most people don't have like the everyone's not packing Bajuka Bogs, so this is going to be a problem.
People also don't,
well, really quickly,
not playing too, against me.
people don't run enough enchantment removal as is, but like you're going to find out really, really fast why you should.
I know how powerful Bloodbond is because I play in a Shadowborn deck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's I was actually really going to say what Dan said, where we say often is people don't run enough enchantment hate.
What's really, yeah, what's really nice about this deck too is if we're just doing what Gris does, right? It's card advantage. We're getting a body, and we can potentially just keep going in on Gris. So it is possible to fill our graveyard very quickly and play one rat and bring everything back that we milled.
Yeah.
So. This card can do a lot of work. It's one of those that like is very unassuming that, you know, they're rats. They swarm. This is a very good example of swarming people. So
I love this card. Like the inclusion of this one is just awesome. The other nice thing, by the way, really quickly, we can actually chat on these cards. We're not constricted by time because we're already done 25 of them 6 minutes in.
So go ahead and take it, Dan.
Yeah, no, I just love how good this card is. Like, and it's not a threat assessment people normally are going to have because if you haven't played a Relentless Rats yet and you just put this down, like, oh, like maybe Shadowborn Apollo, what's he doing, right? But people don't really realize how bad it is until the fifth time you bring all the rats that I board wiped back.
Mm-hmm.
Zach, you totally need to get Jim to make an altar of this card instead of having that Sphinx looking thing have a rat.
That's Bantu.
Yeah, that's disrespecting the Amonkhet gods.
Woo. We'll be right back.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At The Gaming Blender, we take randomized genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM. Then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off? The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out The Gaming Blender on all your favorite podcast platforms now.
Well, I guess we should probably talk about the card. It's a Bantu's Monument. It's a 3-drop legendary artifact. Black creature spells you cast cost 1 less to cast, which we only have black creature spells, so this is very relevant. And whenever you cast a creature spell, each opponent loses 1 life, you gain 1 life. This is a problem. You'll notice that black, if you were to look at the stats, black is going to be our most needed color, so anything that's going to reduce the cost of our rats or our black spells is very important. So this is necessary.
All the monuments are so good. I didn't realize this one's already up to $5.
And I have a foil one. It went right in.
I love their color reduction. Like, it's only for creature spells, but EDH is a creature heavy game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
True story.
25 rats. We need the help.
Yeah. The next one I want to jump into here, Zach, the Conspiracy. Sure. 3 and double black, one of my favorite enchantments in the game that just does not get to see enough play. 3 mm-hmm. double black enchantment, as I said, comes into play. Choose a creature type. Creatures you own that aren't in play, creature spells you control, and creature spells you control, and creatures you control. So creatures everywhere are the chosen type.
Now, something to keep in mind about this, if you name a creature type, this will supersede. So they will be that creature type. It won't be like the in addition twos.
Yeah.
So you have to be kind of careful about that. But we're going to name insect. It's fine.
Someone I was playing with long, long ago happened to just have this when I was playing Slivers. And they were able to pull it out, and it was rough.
Ew.
Yep.
I had my Shadow Sliver out, but didn't have the haste. I was like, all right, guys, figure it out. And then they played this and swung out and killed me. I was like, interesting. Very weird flex.
Out.
Yep. Conspiracy is a great card.
And it's nice, too, because it's...
like it's
yeah, it used to be a very expensive card because it only had like one printing. But because it's in a mystery booster and... for some reason, they did it in foil, and it's much cheaper. So, like, you can get these super cheap, which is what I did. And that's what you should do.
Yeah, I actually have a foil mystery booster one because it was super easy to pull.
Exactly, right? And it's one of those cards, as Commander players, we probably want a couple of.
It can't be understated how good those products have been.
Mm-hmm.
Like, getting the cards back in the hands of players has been just phenomenal.
Does someone want to take this next card?
I'll take it.
Sure.
Cover of Darkness, it's a colorless and a black, and it's enchantment. As Cover of Darkness comes into play, choose a creature type. Creatures of that chosen type have fear. This is pretty saucy in this deck.
Like I said,
see that.
I didn't realize how expensive this card is, though.
Oh, it's so good.
I traded 3 dual lands so I could bling this deck out and get everything I wanted. That's how, like, into this deck I was, and still am. Yeah, Cover of Darkness is, like, it's just another thing. Black isn't often the primary color, but is at least a secondary color for a lot of people. So you might run into issues. Artifacts are pretty heavy in our meta, but honestly, like, Cover of Darkness is going to get people a lot of the times. And if you have 4 rats out, this is a problem. Someone's going to get hurt real bad.
Well, yeah. What is that? Like 35 damage of rats.
Bear with me, because I've just built Sir Gwyn, Hero of Ashvel, and I'm going to put this in.
Oh, yeah.
Cover of Darkness. I think I'm going to try and pick one up for Lathreal.
Zach, you talk me, Sonny.
It's good, really good. In, a lot of people run it in Ajila as well, because you can just overrun people so fast.
Yeah, it is a problem. So this next card I'm going to talk about, because I'm excited, because we don't typically get to play these kind of cards in Commander. So anytime we get to do weird stuff, it always just makes me like super happy. And that's Doubling Chant. It's one in a green for a sorcery. For each creature you control, you may search your library for a creature card with the same name as that creature. Put those cards onto the battlefield and shuffle your library.
That is freaking awesome in this deck.
Doubling Chant. Yes. Awesome. There's it's another so one that's much... similar, yeah.
It's so much fun because, once again, we're looking at 6 mana. Absolute worst case, we've only played 2 rats. That gets us 2 more rats. But it's more likely that we've probably, as we get to this point, have more than 2 rats on the battlefield. And suddenly, there's like 10 or 12 and someone dies.
Even if you have 4 rats out, like this, suddenly turning 4 rats to 8 rats is a very big problem.
Mm-hmm. With so much evasion that we can put into this deck, it's wild. There's some other lines of play that we're going to talk about as we move on, but keep in mind like stuff like Doubling Chant, because there's some other cheeky stuff we can do.
I mean, if you are in white, this is another card that is very similar. Remembrance. Mm-hmm. I just want to get it out there, because this card's like $6. And for similar decks, if you're running white, Remembrance is 3 and a white for an enchantment. Whenever a non-token creature you control is put into a graveyard, you may search your library for a copy of that creature card. If you do, put it in your hand and shuffle. So, like, when I do Shadowborn Apostles, I sack 6, search for 6.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's that's insane. Solid.
I run Remembrance to see in those. Chulain Persistent Petitioners.
Ew.
Gross.
That's a fun deck. Not for anyone else. Yeah. I've never seen anyone else enjoy it, but I have a lot of fun with it.
So, I probably spent 5 minutes trying to remember what the name of this card was, because it just came out and I had to add it to this list because I forgot to, and Lotus reminded me. But Echoing Return is the next card we're talking about. It's 1 black for a sorcery. Return target creature card and all other cards with the same name as that card from your graveyard to your hand. This is in Modern Horizons too, so this is a brand new card. And man, this is so cool in this deck. You can rebuild after a board wipe, or if you're really worried that your graveyard's looking too fat and you're afraid someone's going to get rid of all of your stuff, this is just a good way to, like, I'm just going to protect myself. So Echoing Return is awesome. And any other deck that cares about, like, the Persistent Petitioner, Shadowborn Apostles, that kind of stuff, we're in the colors for it. You're probably going to want to play it.
I wish it was instant. It would have been such a good answer at instant. That's okay. But I do have to talk about the next card, because it is one of my favorite cards to cast in all of Magic. Yes, every time, every deck that I can put it in, I love it. And I play a whole lot of green. It's Genesis Wave. It's X and triple green, simple cost. Reveal the top X cards of your library. You can put any number of permanents with CMC X or less from among them onto the battlefield. All cards that weren't put onto the battlefield into your graveyard.
It's nice.
It's
cards of these balls.
We have a pretty low CMC in this deck, so Gen Waving for 6, probably going to hit you quite a few rats, or at the worst case, it's going to hit you one of your good utilities, like spells or enchantments or permanents, whatever in general. So it's awesome in this deck.
Well, with another, I know there's another enchantment coming up in the list, but if you hit that and 3 rats, it's a real problematic. So we'll get there when we get there. But Gen Wave is, like, one of my favorite things to play. It's just so fun. I love the gambling of it. I just like chaos. I like not knowing what's going to be going on.
And there's something to be said about putting stuff into your graveyard too. Like, worst case, you put something in your grave, wearing the right colors, you can make adjustments to this deck. And there are some cards in here to just pull stuff back from your graveyard if you need it.
Well, if you have any of the Eternal Witness style effects, right? Resolution happens before ETB, so those cards are in your graveyard before the enter effects go on, so you can pull anything you want back out.
Right. I'm not playing, EWIP, but you can.
There's no other creatures in here. I understand that, but... Oh, man, the next card. I'll let someone else have that one, but it's such a good card.
It's a great card.
Yeah, Hunting Voyage. 4 black for a sorcery. Choose a creature type. I presume it's either rats or insects in this case. Return up to 2 creature cards of that type from your graveyard to the battlefield. If this spell was foretold, return all creature cards of the type from your graveyard to the battlefield instead. And foretell cost is 5 black. You dump all those rats in there and then just bring them all straight back out. That's horrible.
Yeah, so Zach, you can take the next one here.
Sure. The next one's another weird one, and I like it. It's Locket of Yesterdays. It's 1 for an artifact. Spells you play cost 1 less to play for each spell card with the same name. Oh my gosh.
Basically,
all spells cost 1 less to cast for each spell in your graveyard with the same name. So we're only going to get rats for 2 because they have 2 black, but still good. Any kind of reduction means we're going to be able to play more rats more often, which is more fun for us, less fun for everyone else. And that's what we're here to do.
I honestly love this card. I just recently built a similar deck with the Dragon's Approach stuff, and Locket of Yesterdays does work.
It's so much fun. I love these weird cards you can't normally play in Commander. When you play decks like this, you get to actually utilize them, and it's just a blast.
It is fun to just try something new. Oh, man, I love the next card. Maskwood Nexus. 4... artifact, 4 mana for an artifact. Creatures you control are every creature type. The same is true for creature spells you control and creatures you own that aren't on the battlefield. Pay 3, tap, create a 2/2 blue shapeshifter creature token with changeling.
This is probably the MVP of the deck. Like, if you can get this onto the battlefield, you're going to do a lot of really mean things to people, and it's great. Because it turns all of our rats into everything. So that means when you mill, you're going to hit every rat you're milling is going to be an insect in addition to its other types. And you're going to get to just pop off with Grist, which is nice. We want to be able to fill our graveyard full of rats as quickly as possible. This is going to do that. And subsequently, if you're playing someone who's playing slivers, your slivers are probably bigger.
I just love this card when I pair it with the World Tree, because I just like to summon the god of whatever tribe I'm doing and pull every creature out of my deck. It's so fun. And I absolutely love the World Tree.
Yeah.
Same. I just don't play 5 colors. That's my thing. Like, World Tree is sick, but 5 colors is just hard for me.
Can I take the next one?
Sure.
Overwhelming Stampede, 3 colorless green sorcery. Until end of turn, creatures you control gain trample and +X/+X, where X is the greatest power among creatures you control. This, with your rat infestation, is going to eliminate multiple people.
Yeah, it's a problem.
Hopefully.
That's what we're here to do.
I find this card generally in any deck that you play, you cast it, the game's over.
And it doesn't feel as bad as like a Crater Hoof. Most people get upset if you finale into a Crater Hoof because it's essentially the same thing, but this seems more unassuming and it's much cheaper.
It's a lot cheaper.
With the rats that we're, with how many rats we're playing, even just for the, even if just having 3 on the battlefield, like this is going to be a problem.
I just saw your next one, and that only works in this kind of deck. Yep. I see that look of smugness on your face. So anyone can't see it, you know, smug face. Pack Hunt, 3 in a green for a sorcery. Search your library for up to 3 copies of target creature. Reveal them, put them in your hand, and shuffle. It would only work in a deck like this.
Yes.
And it's 70 cents.
I know. It's so sweet, right? I literally went to Gather and typed in, like, search for creatures with same name. Enter. And I found a bunch of stuff. Some of them got weeded out because more Horizon spoilers came in, but some stuck, like Pack Hunt. Pack Hunt is sweet.
Oh, I'm going to have to get me one. Right? Hang on. Where's me book? Card number 2.
Where's me book? Well, while Lotus... While Lotus is searching for a book, we're going to talk about the next card. It's probably my favorite black card. Every single deck I own that can play it plays it. It's Phyrexian Reclamation. 1 black for an enchantment. You pay 1 and a black, pay 2 life, return target creature card from your graveyard to your hand. You okay, Jax? Yeah, we just want to rebuy stuff. You know, we're going to be bringing back rats. If we haven't got our big stuff on board yet, just having the anthem from the rats on the battlefield is great, but sometimes just being able to just get stuff back is nice. I'm just gonna bring rats back. I'm okay with that.
This is the flavor text as well. I say it every time we talk about it. It's basically my motto for life. Death is no excuse to stop working.
I wonder where you got that from.
And I have to talk about it. RK Post, one of my favorite artists in Magic, and one of the nicest human beings I've ever met.
He's awesome. Although his signature is kind of lame. No offense, RK Post, if you're listening to this.
His signature is awesome. It's just a block. Nah, it's just a block. Like it. It's just so sweet. Whatever.
Mr. But I Post, do love RK Post.
You can send me anything you signed, and I will gladly play it forever.
Mr. Post, are we talking about Arcane or Malone?
No, there's only one post on my mind. Lotus, you want to read this next card since it kind of harkens back to Pack Hunt?
Secret Salvage, 3 black sorcery. Exile target non-land card from your graveyard. Search your library for any number of cards with the same name. Okay, as that card, reveal them, put them into your hand, and shuffle your library.
I actually haven't seen that card ever.
I didn't know it existed either.
It's from the Revolt, isn't it?
Yeah. I did some research, guys. I really did. So this is what I like to refer to as a high risk, high reward card, because you can exile. Let's say you have Grist and you're close to that -5. Like, let's say you have it. You can just go Secret Salvage, exile a rat, put all of your rats in the grave, and then -5.
More, yeah. Tell me you're running Mortal Kombat. Your turn.
You saw what?
Tell me you're running Mortal Kombat, please.
I'm not.
Mortal Kombat's so good.
It is, but like, I couldn't find a place for it. That's fair. I've had a very hard time cutting cards for this deck.
Looking through this utility list, like, these are well thought out ones, and they're really fun. Like, when you sent me this list initially, I loved it, but hearing you talk through like how you do it and stuff, and like I said, I didn't read Secret Salvage, never seen this card in my life. It's great.
Right, and like Ryan said, we have to discard the rats. There's a couple different ways that we can do that, but really, like, we just discard and then we have to live a cycle. So I feel like it's fair.
Yeah.
You know, like, you guys don't kill me, I'm going to win.
Play 1 with nothing, discard your hand. Your move.
I highly thought about that, legitimately. I thought about playing 1 with nothing.
Hope someone doesn't flash Turgrid.
It is possible.
Scary time.
My rats.
I would legitimately. I would concede, as a gentleman should, and say,
"Thank you, sir. You have a great day.
You got me,
ma'am.
You got
I tip my cap."
Zach, you mean you would concede as a comrade would?
Yeah. Yes. Good game, sir.
Yeah. All right, let's shuffle
another.
Up.
Speaking of conceding, if you see this card hit the table, there's a good chance if you don't have an answer, you probably should concede, and that's Thrumming Stone. It is a 5-drop legendary artifact. Spells you control have Ripple 4. Lotus, could you please explain to the class what Ripple does?
Exactly. It does. So you would cast your rat and then reveal the top 4 cards of the library. Mm-hmm. If any of them are the same name, you cast them. If, for example, you had 2, you then get 2 more Ripple 4s. Mm-hmm. And if you reveal none, you get nothing. But you just keep going until you run out of Ripple triggers.
Do you keep rippling through your deck?
Yes.
Essentially, yes. So, yeah. This is a card, like, we don't have instant speed things. That's not necessarily true, but we don't have instant speed things currently, and if you're able to instant speed out a rat, there's a very good chance you just win the turn that it comes back to you, because you can kill people with combat damage.
Yeah.
Thrumming Stone is expensive, and it rightfully should be, because any deck you played in, especially in Commander, you're probably going to win. This is a very problematic card.
I really, really like to cast this when I have my Dragon's Approach deck, because
I'm scared of that.
Cancer. It's just not fun. I've cast 45 plus in a row, and then I'm like, all right, you guys are all dead. Please. They've had enough.
It's fun. It's fun, too, because it's held in check by our format. There are only specific decks you can play it in. Dragon's Approach, Relentless Rats, Persistent Petitioners, and Shadowborn Apostles. I can't think if there's any other creatures that, or any other cards that you can have
rat
as many.
Colony.
Yeah, there's the other
Rat Colony. Yeah.
Budget this... Relentless Rats.
Yeah, for lesser beings. No, Rat Colony is also sick. They're all trash rats. It's fine. We're all from the same swarm yard. Thrumming Stone is a problem. I don't know if it's as much of a problem. Well, it's probably just as much of a problem as the next card. Does someone want to read it?
I'll take the next one. This one of the best uncommons I believe has ever been printed. Don't know why they would ever do this. It's Triumph of the Hordes, 2 double green. Until end of turn, creatures you control get 1/1, trample, and infect. This is one of the cards that when it's cast, it is generally game over. This is my, I am ending the game this turn. No, it's not often people are like, I'm going to hit one person with this. This is a token deck style swing out or a huge creature style swing out. But it's the point is the same. If someone doesn't have a fog, the game is over.
So in my mind, I kind of had to play this card because we're playing rats, and you think of like the Black Plague and Typhoid Rats and stuff like that. So like, I feel like it's on theme. Like, I want to kill people and win the game with creature damage, go wide, but also it's infect and they're like gross. So it's a double thing. I'm trying to justify being a bad person.
Hey,
that's all.
You have 25 rats. If people leave them on the board and they die to infect, that's on them.
I don't think infect's a bad mechanic in Commander, honestly, because you can gain infinite life and all the rest of this. So having just deal 10 damage is a good ender.
That's why I like Commander damage so much, is because games have got to end.
Yeah.
Yep.
So this next card I'm in love with. I've been playing it more frequently now, and this was just another deck I felt like it had to go in. That's Wild Pear. It's 4 green for an enchantment. Whenever a creature ETBs, if you cast it from your hand, you may search your library for a creature card with the same total power and toughness and put it onto the battlefield. If you do, you shuffle your library.
Yep.
Just another way to play multiple rats a turn. Turning one cast into getting 2 creatures, turning 3 casts into 6 creatures. This card is very fun. I play it in my Belby deck, and it's a really unique card because it's counting the overall, like, the combined power and toughness. So, like, our rats are 2/2s, which is fine, whatever. But in reality, if you were to play it in a different deck, like, let's say you have a 2/2, you can go find a 1/3 or a 3/1 or whatever the combination is. So Wild Pear is a lot of fun. A lot of people.
I did not know that. The same total power and toughness.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get, like, it doesn't have to be a 2/2 to a 2/2. I could get a 3/1.
Exactly.
That's very cool.
Yeah, it really works with a lot of these toolbox decks. It's an enchantment I feel like a lot more people should be playing, and it's really cheap. And there's a premium deck series one, so you can get it in foil for next to nothing.
I've wrote that in my book.
Good. I'm glad. That's three. If you're keeping track at home, guys, it's three cards.
That is actually a really, really good piece of game knowledge with Wild Pair.
I didn't know. I had it once again. It was a lot of playtesting and just research, and it was like, oh crap, that's what they're meaning. It's worded very oddly, but it's a lot of fun. If you haven't played it before, pick it up. It's super cheap. Just try it out in a deck. Every time I've played it, I've been super, super amused. It's been a lot of fun.
Oh, now I've got this thing in my head where I need to build a commander deck where every single creature's power and toughness total the same amount.
That would be cool.
Jim from the Spike Feeders, who I interviewed on What's in the Box, he has a CDH deck built around 7 total power toughness creatures, and he plays Wild Pair, and it is so cool. He plays his commander is Saskia the Unwielding. It's a very neat deck. Go check it out.
I'm going to have to check that out.
So that is our utility section. So that gives you a pretty good idea of like what we're doing to make these rats even more problematic than what they already are. So we're going to run into our card draw next, because there's some things that I kind of want to touch on. So we're playing a bunch of rats. We want them in grave. So a lot of our card draw is going to be sacrifice, like costly plunder. It's 1 in a black for an instant. As an additional cost to cast this spell, sacrifice an artifact or a creature, and you draw 2 cards. The exchange rate here is awesome, and it's at instant speed. So if someone's going to try to exile my stuff, we don't want that. We are going to sacrifice it because we want it in grave. It's either board or grave. Nowhere else matters. And we get to draw 2 off of it. So there's really no downside for this card.
Ooh, the next one is actually a really cool card too. Forever Young, 1 in a black, putting number of target creature cards from your graveyard on top of your library, draw a card. And the fun thing is, if you have your Maskwood Nexus out, you can just mill them straight back in with your Grist and get his loyalty to a crazy amount.
Or you play this and then cast a Relentless Rats with Thrumming Stone in play and put all your Relentless Rats back into play.
Very cool card.
Exactly. This deck has a linear kind of quote-unquote play style with wanting to go wide, but I try to put in a lot of lines of play that are just kind of fun and unique so that we don't always have to win through just overwhelming the board. We can win by doing these weird interactions, by putting rats back on top of our deck and gristing people out, or Thrumming Stone out, or just something weird. So Forever Young is just, it does a lot of dual things in this deck.
I like decks that you look at in this manner, where it's not your normal thing. It's going to make you stop and be like, all right, this is a cool thing. Everyone has their own unique play style, but I feel like a deck like this is unique among unique.
Yeah.
Thank you. I worked very hard on this deck. Like, I cannot stress this enough. My Badlands, my Scrublands, and my Plateau all went into this deck. And amongst some other things, I got very bougie on cards. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I got some very expensive, very pretty cards.
Rest in peace, Zax cards.
It's fine. I proxy. Who cares?
Go for it.
Garrick's Uprising. It's 2 colorless and a green for an enchantment. It says when Garrick's Uprising enters the battlefield, if you control a creature with power 4 or greater, draw a card. Creatures you control have trample, and whenever a creature with power 4 or greater enters the battlefield under your control, draw a card. I absolutely love this card, and I think with a lot of the ways that you have to recur these rats and get the rats big, you're going to draw an obscene amount of cards with this card. Also as a way just to get through with the trample.
I love this card so much.
So do I.
I played it in Standard, and then once I realized how good this was, it went in every green deck I ever had in Commander.
In this deck, you've got 25 things potentially able to draw you with your ETB, so it's good on its own, but even without that, the static trample in a deck like this is amazing. Because those rats get huge so fast.
Yeah, I mean, what? They're 2/2s, so you would need...
If you have 3 out in total, they're 4/4s.
Yeah.
And that's not hard.
No.
Grave...
Garrick's Uprising just gets to be problematic very quickly, and it gives us more of that evasion. We can get there very quickly with cards like that.
this is the same style as the Forever Young Grave Purge. 2 and a black for an instant. Put any number of target creature cards from your graveyard on top of your library. Draw a card. Awesome.
The instant speed is really like why it's here. I wish Forever Young was the exact same card in instant speed. Like, just it's protection, and that's what we really need. Once people catch on, they're going to either try to kill Grizz, exile your graveyard, or exile your creatures. So this is a way to try to one of the ways that I have in here to try to protect that.
Well, that's what I was saying, right? Is you have to get rid of your graveyard. You can't leave these on the field, and you can't leave them in the grave.
They're not safe anywhere. Someone want to take the next card?
Yeah, Pact of the Serpent's one of those new ones that's actually really good, either defensively or offensively. 1 black sorcery. Choose a creature type. Target player draws X cards and loses X life, where X is the number of creatures they control of the chosen type. So you can use it if you've got a couple of rats and you need cards, but if you've got, say, Dan, who makes, I don't know, 100 elves, you just go lose 100 life.
Well, but not only lose 100 life, if I'm going off hardcore on my life gain, let's say I'm playing Krav and Regna, I have 200 warriors out or something, right? And I've got 2,000 life and you can't kill me, you can make me draw my deck. You can do that pretty easy. This is a great card.
You got to be careful because there is a chance you do a very absurd amount of damage to yourself. So you just got to be kind of, you know, just be careful. Play responsibly.
No.
The next card is another card that I absolutely love. It's a newer card from Strixhaven. It's Plum the Forbidden. It's 1 to black for an instant. As an additional cost to cast this spell, you may sacrifice 1 or more creatures. When you do, copy the spell for each creature sacrificed this way. You draw a card and lose a life. This is another way, once again, to protect our board, to put stuff in our graveyard, and to dig for what we want. The life gain is kind of, it's just whatever. Or I'm sorry, life loss is kind of whatever, but... yes, this lets us dig quick and lets us dig fast.
This one's so phenomenal as well because it's way harder to counterspell, right? Because you're additional costing and copying it, so it's not like you can counterspell and stop one. I really like this card. Like it's a very powerful card. I think it is going to be another $5-6 uncommon at some point.
Yeah. If you pair Forbidden Plums with like the pest tokens, it just... you pay 1 life and then the rest just pay for itself.
Yeah,
exactly. And shout out to Jim at Pyrexia. He actually made me a proxy of this. He did one of his death metal altars and it went right in his deck. So if you're not following Jim at Pyrexia, please do. He works with us and he's awesome. And I just can't say how much I love that guy.
The next one is another favorite card of mine too. I love everything tribal, Vanquisher's Banner. We have a 5-cost artifact. As it enters, you choose a creature type. Creatures to control of chosen type get 1/1, but that's not super relevant here. What is relevant is whenever you cast it, you draw. So you cast any, in this deck, rats, obviously, because there's nothing else to cast. When you cast any rats, you draw a card. I really, really like it.
Yeah, what I've found as I've playtested this deck and I've been making it work is that we run out of cards in hand very quickly. So being able to refill every, like, we're basically 1-for-1 in here, you know, play a card, draw a card, play a card, draw a card. Being able to refill as quickly as possible is what we need to do, because once people realize what our game plan is, we are going to be a threat.
They're coming.
Cards in hand. Yeah. Cards in hand makes it less likely of, you know, they want to come at us.
The next one, I don't know what it is, but I'm sure I know what it is.
Is that Village Rites?
It's got to be.
what else would it be?
Village Rites Zach's favorite card in Magic?
It's close between. Like, my top cards in Magic are all black, and they're almost all 1 black pip. Entomb, Reanimate, and Village Rites. But yeah, Village Rites is the next card. It's 1 black for an instant. As initial cost to cast a spell, you sack a creature, and then you draw 2 cards. Once again, just value in general. If someone's going to exile a rat, not today.
Bah. Nuh-uh.
Pow-pow.
And just being able to draw cards is fine. We have some different things in here that, you know, we just need to dig for. And this will get us there. So that's our card draw section. It's a little bit lighter than what I normally do, but with how our creatures play and how our commanders basically card draw, it's fine. We'll be fine. You'll be fine. It's okay.
I'm going to rip through your mana section here, and then I'll let you go over the notable ones that aren't just the easiest ones. So, number one, we have Arcane Signet, we have Cultivate, Kodama's Reach, Rampant Growth, Soul Ring, and we've got Three Visits. So,
yep,
great green ramp package in general.
Yeah, the only ones that I feel like are very noteworthy, Cryptolithic Rite, it's one in a green for an enchantment. Creatures you control have tap, add one mana of any color to your mana pool. This can just kind of help us. We are a very black heavy deck, so being able to play a rat and then maybe next turn play two rats using one of the rats to tap for a black is relevant. If we don't have like our Urborg or something like that onto the battlefield to guarantee all of our lands are swamps, this will help you get there.
Well, Grist also makes you insects.
Yes, that's true too. You can take the insects and tap them for mana.
Yeah.
And they're just blockers, worst case. So does someone want to take Growing Rites?
Sure. Growing Rites of Itlamok. It's two colors and green for a legendary enchantment. When it enters the battlefield, look at the top four cards of your library. You may reveal a creature card from among them and put it in your hand. Put the rest on the bottom of your library in any order. And then at the beginning of your end step, if you control four or more creatures, transform Growing Rites of Itlamok into Itlamok Cradle of the Sun, which is Gaia's Cradle, or you can just tap it for a green.
Hmm.
The card's amazing, and in this deck, between your Relentless Rats and your insects that Grist makes, you probably are going to flip this the turn you play it.
Well, it also searches the top for a rat as well, mm-hmm. which is good.
Yeah,
I love Growing Rites.
It's a great
card. Yeah. It's awesome. We have some X spells, and we want to be splashy in this deck, right? Like, that's what we're trying to do. So
it is, though. I do find, like, it's not a cheap card, but it's also a hard card to find. Very rarely ever see these anywhere. It's one of those, like, if you do, kind of just pick them up. But I think it's only going to go up.
Oh, it for sure is. It's the gateway into a Gaia's Cradle, because no one's playing a Gaia's Cradle in a one-off creature deck, right? So you're still going to get it off. This is the Commander Gaia's Cradle. It's a phenomenal card.
And I recently, because like I said, I was being bougie and I had a bunch of extra money, I actually got the Buy a Box promo thinking that it wasn't expensive. And it, awesome. It was like $60, $65 US.
Wow.
It has the alternate map and stuff. Yeah, I really, really mm-hmm. like them. I loved all of those ones.
Yeah, they're phenomenal. The last card we're going to touch on is Phyrexian Altar. It's three for an artifact. You sack a creature, add one mana of any color to your mana pool. I can't stress this enough. Any deck has to have, I don't care what deck you're playing, what strategy it is, any deck has to have some instant speed creature sacrifice outlet, because exile does happen. You want to be able, like we're playing Commander, it's not uncommon that any color has the ability to recur something. So having this as an outlet to make sure your stuff isn't getting sacrificed. You can't interact with Exile for the most part. There are a couple cards that do it, but not much. The Graveyard, completely different story. So for this deck, we're protecting our rats, building mana. Maybe we're going to Grist people the turn that we do this. Maybe we're not. It's just a good outlet in general.
I'm shocked you don't run a Chain Veil so that you can Grist and then kill people with Grist the next turn.
That's not me, man.
That's true. That's fair. That's what I would
do. Guy. That's this guy 100%.
We're not all as degenerate as you.
I want to kill people with rats. If I kill someone with Grist, or kill the table with Grist, that's sweet. But if I kill people with rats, that's what we're here to do. I want to... my ideal like situation is having like 7 or 10 rats and having a Chromos Immortal on the battlefield and being able to kill everyone that way. That's what I would like to do.
I'm still, by the way, voting for this deck being called These Rats Are Bugging Me. It's my vote. I'm probably naming the episode that. We'll see, but you guys in the future will know where I went.
I'll change the deck name for sure. Yes. Now we're going to deal with interaction. There's not much because like I don't really care if my rats get killed. As long as, or even if my like enchantments are effectively killed, as long as it's in the graveyard, I don't care. So does someone want to take the first one?
Beast Within. I love it. Two and a green, probably one of the greatest, I would say greatest green removal spells. Destroy target permanent. Its controller gets a 3/3 green beast creature token. It's very good for dealing with problem lands.
Mm-hmm. Lands, enchantments, anything. And once again, like people are probably going to try to exile some of our stuff. I am completely fine with blowing up a Cover of Darkness or a Maskwood Nexus to get it back later.
Yeah, true.
From my graveyard. You can.
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. You can be proactive or you can be retroactive with this card. Doesn't matter. Just know that it's not always as clear cut as like, oh, this is just to remove someone else's stuff. That's why this is interaction, because you can interact with someone's kill spell.
I've actually used it to get a 3-3 blocker at some point.
Yeah, that's true too.
That's not bad at all. I'm on the same train as Lotus right now with the Barrier Breach. It's just such a good card to run in the deck. The exile enchantments is really good, and yeah, having a way to not lose your best enchantment is important. Or return to dust or something.
Yes.
Return to nothing.
Does someone want to take the next card?
Yeah, I'll take Golgari Charm. It's a black green instant. Choose one. All creatures get -1/-1 till end of turn. Destroy target enchantment or regenerate each creature you control. Yep. None of these are bad.
Solid.
You're playing Dan. You just all of his buy 275 tokens.
There's a typically one mode you're probably going to use on this in this deck, and it's not the first two. People are going to try to blow up your stuff.
You don't see charms that often anymore, and I'm sad by it because they're very good. Well, most of them are.
I don't think any of the charms are bad. Honestly, even the Boros charm is great. It's Double arguable strike. The Boros charm could be the best charm, honestly.
I don't know. Rakdos is pretty good in our playgroup.
Yeah, Rakdos is a pretty good solution to
the charm. Turns up beating. One million game casting a Rakdos charm.
When are you going to learn your lesson, old man?
How many times do I have to teach you this, Daniel? Stop. Never.
All right, does someone take the next one?
I'm a bit confused with this one. Nature's Charm. Single green, destroy target artifact or enchantment, gain 4. I would rather put in a Barrier Breach.
There's that. But also, like, it's just very cheap. Like, one green mana to do this. I'm fine with someone having 4 life. It's also can be used politically, too. Like, oh, I'm about to lose the game because I'm Dan and I have a problematic board state. Dan, I'll give you 4 life. Okay, that keeps me from dying.
It is the fun politics. There's nothing more fun than just taking someone's win away with a silly nature's claim.
I've done the same thing with Magister Sphinx to Dan. I've set his life total to 10 so he didn't die in the game. So it's fun. But yeah, this could be Barrier Breach for sure. There's nothing wrong with Barrier Breach at all. I was going low to the curve, and Nature's Claim was kind of the card. And I'll be honest, I had the old border one, so I was like, I'm playing this card somewhere.
I've got to say, I've not seen this artwork for the next one. Phenomenal artwork.
Yes, yes it is. Go ahead and read it.
Lotus, you read this one, sorry.
One in a green sorcery, return target card from your graveyard to your hand.
Everything about it good.
I think it's a card, though, that's kind of fallen out of... I don't want to say favor, but like you just don't see people. Like I remember back in the day, like Regrowth was amazing. It was expensive. They were hard to find. You just don't see it a lot anymore, and it's still such a good card.
I think a lot of it comes down to the fact that we have E-Witness. Everyone is on E-Witness, and creatures are easier. Like I just said, creatures are way easier to recur. I'm not playing anything that isn't a rat in this deck as far as creatures go. So no E-Witness, no new E-Witness, whatever the new one's called. So Regrowth, perfectly fine. Once again, we can blow up our stuff if someone's going to exile it to get it back eventually. This next card is one that I was super excited to have a deck to really play in. It's Well of the Nim. It's 2 and a black for an instant. You choose one. Regenerate each creature you control, or Well of the Nim deals 1 damage to each creature and each player, and you can entwine it for 1 black, which means you play one more. You pay 1 more black, and you get to do both.
I've actually never seen that card cast.
It's
very cool.
It's sweet. People would probably argue that I should be playing Heroic Intervention. I'm not. Deal with it.
Meh.
There are certain cards I just don't like playing for the simple fact that they feel very pushed in our format. That doesn't make them bad cards. It doesn't make them bad cards. And like, I basically have 2 cards in here that could probably be taken out for 1 Heroic Intervention, so I'd have space for another. But I really, when I build decks, I like to go through my entire collection, and these were cards I've been wanting to play, so I'm playing them. There's nothing wrong with that.
I really like the entire route you went with this. I think it looks like a very fun overall deck. I would change it, like I said, to Chain Veil, Kill the Table, and Mortal Kombat, because Mortal Kombat's fun.
Right. There's no better card to, when you play it, to be like, Mortal Kombat!
So, there are some lands I want to talk about. We're not going to go over everything, but there are some noteworthy ones. One of the first ones, I'm probably just really flexing because, like I said, I had a lot of store credit, so I got some stuff. But Cavern of Souls, typically, I don't play expensive cards. I just have a lot of proxies, but Cavern of Souls is one just seems like it was fun. So if you don't know, you choose a creature type when it enters the battlefield. You can tap it for one colorless, but you can tap it to add one mana of any color to your mana pool. You can spend this mana to cast a creature spell of the chosen type, and it can't be countered. Sometimes that additional rat is just needed to close out a game, and being able to just get it through without any issues is great. So Cavern's in here. I am running a Gaia's Cradle. Once again, I proxy some of this stuff. This is a proxied card. we need the mana. Simple as that. Being able to play multiple rats a turn, being able to just end a game by going super ham on a Genesis Wave. It's kind of fun. It's kind of nice. It's kind of what you expect. Does someone want to read Grim Backwoods?
I love that card. Yeah, I'll take it. It is add a colorless or pay two and black green, tap it, sack a creature, draw a card.
This goes back to, once again, being able to instant speed interact with someone so that they can't exile our stuff, our creature specifically. So you can pay four to protect a rat and draw a card, and it's in our graveyard. It's everything we want to do. High Market works very similarly, except you can just tap it to sacrifice a creature and gain a life. Just instant speed, you know, protection for ourselves, and it's instant speed interaction because people typically don't deal with lands.
No. And Phyrexian Tower does the same thing, basically.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, read it.
So you can tap it to add a colorless or sacrifice mm-hmm. a creature and add double black. Though Requellery Tower confuses me a little bit, why you've put that in here.
I'm greedy. So,
well, you. My thought was, earlier you said you want to draw the cards and discard them to the graveyard, but mm-hmm. this kind of stops you from doing that.
Well, my thing is, like, I want to discard cards when I want to discard cards. Sometimes you just need a Reliquary Tower to keep your Akroma's Memorial, Wild Pear, Triumph of the Hordes, and, you know, a couple other cards. Granted, you can choose what you keep, but Reliquary Tower is just another one that, like, we can keep and get rid of. I just have it in here because, like I said, I like being greedy. And I felt good about it.
I believe that you said as well at the beginning that you were putting Cabal in here.
Yeah, so I don't currently have Cabal Coffers in this list. I need to, not because we have a huge payoff, but because it is so important to hit black mana. I've struggled some games because I haven't had the correct, you know, colors to play my rat. So Cabal Coffers is actually good in this deck just to do what it normally does, not to kill people with like a Torment of Hellfire, but to give us black mana to play rats. So Cabal Coffers is going in this list. It's just not in here at the moment. Swarm Yard is also in the list because it's sweet. You can tap it for a colorless, or you can tap it to regenerate target rat, spider, or squirrel, or insect. So it's everything we want.
The price on this dropped phenomenally. I have not seen how low it is, and I'm going to go buy one.
Yes.
Yeah, it was just a secret lair.
To be honest, for Orvar.
Yeah.
It dropped because of the Timespell Remastered reprinting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was also in the secret lair as well, which is really nice.
I wanted that one. The original
printing is still expensive.
I think it's 12. I don't think it's that bad. I wanted the secret lair one that you mentioned, Lotus. My LGS just didn't have it at the time, and so I got this one.
Was that in the rats one, I assume?
No, the squirrels. They did a squirrels secret lair.
Oh, it's in the squirrels secret lair?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's so random.
There's one of those the other LGS pest. Right now.
We're running we're running an Unclaimed Territory. It's just a really good uncommon that'll let us pick a creature type, and then we can add mana to cast spells of the chosen creature type. Urborg to give us all swamps when we need it, in addition to other types. And the Avimana Cradle of Growth to give us all forests, because, like I said, I'm greedy.
What a great card, and they have to do one of mountains. They must. I want to Valakut.
I want one for islands.
I'm hoping the cycle will be complete. Now that they've printed a second one, there's no reason why the other three won't come along. I would love to see one as Waste, Valakut. Honestly.
Waste would be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Valakut High Tide. Those are some reasons why they don't want to do the other ones.
Yeah, probably. Dan, you and I are degenerates. We want degenerate things.
I like Valakut. Valakut's a fun card to cast. It's a really good time. Just give me Primeval
for
Titan.
You.
I want like a Mirrodin something something, and it give everything's waste in addition to its other types.
That would be fun.
So yeah, that is my that's my Grist deck, guys. I'm very happy with this deck. It's sweet. I've only got to play it once, and it was silly. So there's probably some cards, like, if you want to build this at home, there are definitely different ways you can go about this. I was very staunch about only using rats. There are a bunch of awesome like utility creatures you could put in place of some of these other cards to bring down the price. The price on this deck is fairly expensive. It's $1,460, but that's also including an actual Gaia's Cradle, the some of the other cards that are expensive, but in reality, like, you don't need a Cover of Darkness, you don't need a Gaia's Cradle, you don't need an Illamok. Those are just, like I said, I traded in duels, so I was able to be over the top about this deck.
This deck's only, though, if you remove Gaia's Cradle, it's a $350 deck.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know that Grist will be expensive. With having three different printing styles, yeah, I think it's very possible that Grist comes down in price.
I don't. I think it's going to be a modern playable card because he mills himself, so four offs are going to work.
I'm even thinking about putting him in Manless Dredge in Legacy.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like,
I can unearth that.
You can unearth that. Oh, yeah.
$40 to $50
noticeable card. I should put this out there, too. If Grist ever dies, you put it in the graveyard in this deck because you can bring it back with so many different things.
I'm shocked you don't have Living Death in this deck.
Or Patriarch's Bidding.
Or Rishkar's Expertise.
So Rishkar's,
it's a tight list, I understand.
Rishkar's was simply just like, I didn't have an extra one, so I built off of what I had. I didn't know I was going to pull the trigger on getting rid of my duels until the day that I did it. Patriarch's Bidding at the time was $60 before. This was also before they showed that it was being reprinted. So I actually, sitting in front of me, I have a Patriarch's Bidding that will go in this deck.
Great card.
And Living Death is just scary. If I have more ETB creatures, I would be more comfortable playing Living Death. This is just the problem with the rats is, like, they're on the board and they're powerful when they swing.
True.
There's one card I would have added, but it's completely janky, unlike Dan and Ryan. I would have put in a Marinora.
I don't know what you just
What's
said?
That one?
Marinora does basically what Krenko does. You tap it, sack a rat, create 1/1 rat tokens equal to the number of rats you control.
Marinora.
I thought you were saying like a mariner. Like a submariner.
Like, there's no sea creatures in here, Lotus.
And believe me, I thought about that as well, but I was very like, almost all my rats are foil. So I was like, nah, dog.
What an absolute flex.
I am just doing rats. Like I said, there are plenty of awesome utility creatures. Like, it took a lot for me to not put Filth in here. You guys know, like, anytime you see Urborg, just assume Filth is in the deck list. Because,
you are pretty filthy, Zach.
Swamp Walk, man. We get there. We get there every time. But yeah, that's what's awesome about this shell. Honestly, you can build the same deck and you don't have to do rats. You could literally like take the same exact list and do it with different creatures that aren't insects. And I still feel like this deck would function like you want it to function. Yep.
I just
went rats.
I think it's got a great deck name. I just am a big fan.
I do like the deck as well.
Yeah,
I had no idea what this deck did until we went through it. And now I'm really enjoying it.
All right, it's a really cool deck. Like, you put a really interesting idea to paper. I think it's very fun. I love your brew style.
Thank you. I committed. Like, I've said it so many times, but like, I literally, as soon as I saw Grist and I saw, like, I decided I finally was going to do rats, I said, screw it. Like, I'll proxy my duels. I'm going to build this deck. And I got so many other expensive cards and different decks. Like my Carador list now, my creature's only Carador list is super flashy. Like, and I did the same thing here. Green Black lately has just been speaking to me on so many different levels. Gris is so unique. There are so many cool things you can do with this style of brew. I didn't have a Relentless Rat deck. And I feel like you can have as many of this creature or of this card of the same name in your decks. This is one I wanted to build. And I think everyone, honestly, if you play Commander, should try to brew one of these decks. Like, we have plenty of different play styles for those decks now, too.
Maybe one day we're going to have to do a 15-minute episode on my Dragon's Approach deck, because it's pretty much all Dragon's Approach.
It is. It's a lot. It's a lot of fun. Like, it's one of those decks, when you were playing it, I didn't care to lose to it, because like I was just entertained playing against it.
We approach the dragon mighty quick in that deck, I'll just say.
Yes. It's stupid. It is absolutely stupid. But
yeah, no, I said, I absolutely love this deck in general. It's a blast.
Something I do want to talk about is we've been talking about Modern Horizons 2 and the price of Modern Horizons. This is something special I've been working on with Jim from Pyrexia. We will be doing a proxy giveaway of a Grist of his design with a Jeweled Lotus of his design and a reanimate of his design. So if you're listening to this, which you obviously are, pay attention on Monday. I should have the cards in hand. I will have pictures and I will have all the information that you would possibly need to enter into that drawing to get these cards. I'm super excited about this deck list, and I want everyone, if you want to play this deck, not to be hindered by price. So if I can help you in the slightest, that's what we're going to do here. So just be prepared.
Yeah.
Yep. What is it you say, Dan? You want to play against a person and not their wallet.
Yeah, I don't care how much you spend on it. I want just see an interesting deck idea. I want to have fun. Bring me whatever's legal in the format. Let's go. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Everyone, whoever feels like it, tell them where they can find our stuff.
Ryan.
Oh, boy. You can check us out on IntoThe99.com, where we've got some fantastic articles and all of our information about everything that we do. You can find us on our Discord server. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, wherever else you can find podcasts. Please leave us reviews if you can. They really help us get out to everybody and make us more accessible. You can find us on YouTube. Tuesday nights we do our gameplay. Lotus does her Bruno live on Saturdays. If you want to buy our merch, check out our merch store. I'm not sure when, but there's some exciting new ideas in the works for that. Check us out on Patreon. You can check out our after hour show through our Patreon and some other cool benefits. Think I hit everything?
Yeah. Thank you guys so much for listening.
On Instagram.
Oh, yeah. Instagram. That's where we are most active.
Yes. Thanks for listening, guys. And everybody have a wonderful afternoon, night, day, whatever time you're listening to us.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Be safe.